And the title is, Who's Your Daddy? You know, we're encouraged in Scripture to call Father God Abba. It's an Aramaic word for father, but it's this, when it's spoken, the person it's being spoken to realizes that not only are you being very personal with them, but it's also very respectful. So there's this combination of intimacy and respect when you use the word Abba. And I know that for some folks, and praise God, for the most part, we don't run into that here, that a religious spirit or a traditional spirit. No. So when we do say Daddy God or Abba Father, we don't have a real problem with that. But I've been other places where they couldn't even get that to come out of their mouth just because they found it very disrespectful. And that's why I wanted to share with you that the word itself is very intimate and very respectful. So Father God, Papa, what he really wants is he really wants to move us into an even more personal relationship than we have. All of us have some level of personal relationship with him. And we know that by the fruit of our lives. But we also, by the fruit of our lives, know how personal it is. And it's going to be personal and individual because of the individual calling. Okay, so if I see an angel tomorrow and Maureen sees an angel tomorrow, that experience, even though we're both seeing an angel, is going to be so individual and so personal. And that's what Father God wants. And just the word father or papa or dad or daddy can cause some people to immediately keep their relationship with God at arm's length. And it can be for various reasons. And it's a really large population of people because the society is so broken. It's a very large population. Our goal this year is, as any of us, and I do have some of those issues. My dad was a very gentle man, but he was also a very broken, emotionally broken man because of the way he was brought up. I learned when I was older that he was his dad's target, which tells me his dad was broken. And so when we start thinking, okay, we're not giving them an excuse, but there's a reason. Something's happening. Something happened, and it's for generations. And it only takes one person. We heard it from Rabbi Landry, and we'll hear it from other people. It only takes one person in a bloodline to bring that bloodline back to the altar of God. That's my goal this year for my bloodline. Amen. And I hope that it will be that for yours as well. Because I'm telling you what, we have the authority of God, I'm after the power of God. But if I try to mix that power with any other power is watered down.
Yes.
The only power that is not watered down is the power of God.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The wounds of the fathers, if they're not taken care of in the spirit and put under the blood and broken, they then, just like sickness, disease, and infirmity, just like biological things, go on to the next generation. And in some cases get worse. Spiritual things are the very same thing. In fact, the thing we really have to remember is every single thing starts in the spirit. You don't see anything in the physical, whether it's positive or negative, that didn't already start in the spiritual. The reconciliation, the uprise of the truckers in Canada, which is now moving to the U.S.
Amen.
Yeah, it's now moving to the U.S. That started, that uprise, that righteous, we're not taking this anymore, started in the spirit first.
Yes.
And then you see it manifest, or you see it visually, in the physical. In fact, this morning on the prayer call, I'm trying to remember, I think it's Massachusetts. I can't remember what state she's in, but I think it was Saturday. They just canceled all mandates in her state.
Wow.
So that has started, it's slowly happening in the spirit, and I declare in Jesus' name, we call that into Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So many people don't have a pleasant or positive experience with their fathers for various reasons, mostly because their fathers were wounded and had misperceptions about their own fathers. When they think about the word father, papa, daddy, they don't have a warm and fuzzy feeling. And then there's another whole population. So that was with the father in the home. But then there's a whole population of people that never even knew their father. And what that does is it leaves a void. We think, okay, well, I didn't have any, he wasn't there, so he couldn't abuse me. Well, that's abuse in itself. His not being there is abuse in itself. And what we have to really understand is that in order to receive everything that Jesus paid for and all the blessings of the Father, is we have to be willing and wanting to be close to the Father and to embrace Him. Well, if there's some kind of wound, if I have a broken arm, I'm keeping you away from that arm. I'm going to do everything I can to keep you away from that arm. If I have a broken heart, broken emotions, broken thought life about my Father, I'm going to stay away from my Heavenly Father. I may let Him in the door, and then eventually I may let Him in the next door, but what we need is a right now. We need to right now be able to crawl up in Daddy's lap and talk to Him face to face. That's what we need. So we got to get rid of the wounds. And I'll tell you this. And I'll tell you because we've seen it happen in this ministry and others. As we continue to peel these layers away, because they are layers, you may hit a point where there is something that is just, like Mitzi said, when she said, but I'm right because. Yeah, righteous indignation. I am right. But what happens is if we have something on the inside of us, and what'll happen is as these layers come off and you become more and more in tune with who you really are and more in tune with the wounds that are in you, because we all have them. I mean, I just worked through one this morning with the Lord and took communion at home. What'll happen is you'll become more and more in tune, and you may come up against one that is either too painful or you feel like, I'm right. I'm right. I don't have to let go of that. This really did happen, and it was wrong, and I'm right, and I'm not letting go of it. Well, you've got to make the decision. Do you want to be able to crawl up in Daddy's lap and get that close to Him and put your head on His chest and hear His heartbeat? That's where we're going. So you have to make the decision in this process now.
Yes.
How willing am I to be completely vulnerable to Him? And that takes guts. It takes courage. Because He's going to start talking to you about some things you don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And how do I know that? Because I went through that. Where I literally was like, la, 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 not listening. And He finally said to me, why will you not let me talk to you about this? Just like that. And I said, because I'm afraid of what you're going to tell me. And He said, well, it's going to happen anyway, so I can talk to you about it so you're prepared, or you can keep your fingers in your ears. And what happens with that is if we're not willing, it will take you out of this church. We've seen it happen. Watson got up one day and said, he said, I know one thing about this church. If you're not willing to change, if you're not willing to let the word change you, it'll take you out of this church. And it's because we've watched it. So I just want to lay that foundation. Because I don't know about you, but I'm going deep this year.
Amen.
I'm after everything. I said to the Lord again this morning, I want it so that I can honestly say to my Father face to face, there is nothing the enemy can find in common
Amen.
In me.
Amen.
And therefore, he can't take my life. He can't take my finances. He can't take my family. He can't take any of it, just like he couldn't with Jesus. Jesus had to let it go. That's where I'm headed. And the Word of God tells us that we've got a choice. We've got a choice to choose either the devil or Father as our Father. And the other thing before I go into scripture, we have to understand that a broken relationship with the Father or your Father, whether he was there or not, is actually a broken covenant. And when there's a broken covenant, there is a wide open door for the enemy to come in and convince you that things that are not true are true. You know, there's many things that are very unique. And again, we're not trying to be Jewish. But there are many things that are very positive and unique about the Jewish community. And one of the things, their numbers are a little bit higher now since this whole craziness of COVID happened. But they are still much lower than the other populations, non-Jewish populations of any kind. That's much lower divorce, much lower drug use, much lower out of wedlock pregnancy, much lower across the board everything. And here's where they do excel. Per capita, much higher income. And we're going to look at part of why that's happening. On Wednesday night in a couple of the other videos, you've heard the phrase Shabbat Shalom. What they do once a week, it happens in their tradition to be Friday night, which then leads into Saturday. They come together as a family and often as an extended family. I think of you, Annette, whenever I think of this. I think of your family when you would say your family would get together. They'd spend the entire Saturday, and we're talking extended family, not just mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. They spend the entire Saturday together and say, okay, let's meet here tomorrow again.
Right.
All day Sunday.
Awesome.
I mean, it's so cool to hear her family stories. It's just so, so cool. And what that did is you have a family bond that not many people have. That's a word picture of what happens here. Every single Friday, and Jesus would have been brought up with this. Everybody knew Friday night, you stopped to work at a certain time on Friday, you met at whoever's house it was going to be, let's all go to Steve and Mitzi's this Friday, and let's have a dinner. And then they would laugh and they would dance and they would, I mean, it was a joyous, joyous time. There was nothing somber about this. And part of the tradition was the lighting of the candles, but part of that tradition was the Father speaking a blessing. This would happen every single Friday night. Not only was the mother and father in the home, but the whole family was gathered around the table for fellowship, laughter, joy, and then father and often mom would join in and repeat the words with him. But this is what was spoken over them. In Numbers 6:22, it says, the Lord, and there that's Adonai, and remember Adonai means the master and the owner as it relates to people. So if we were looking at it in the negative, it would be an owner of slaves. But this owner has also committed to taking care of, providing for, protecting, guiding, and maximizing everything he owns. So this is, the Lord Adonai spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, of course those are the priests of the day, and say, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say this to them, Adonai bless you. And that actually means kneel near you as an act of adoration. And the visual I got is when a parent would go, their little ones going to bed, maybe they're going to do their nightly prayers, maybe they're going to read a book, and the parent kneeled down by the bed so close to the little one and then did whatever their nightly routine was and then tucked him up, you know, with the blankets and kissed him on the head, and that's the visual I got. So Adonai bless you, and Adonai keep you. That means to put a hedge around you, guard you, and protect you. And of course, these children would know. It's not like English. You know, we always use the example, I love you. What does that mean? I love your yellow sweater too. What does that mean? the Hebrew language is so pure that they know, and when they use the word Adonai, they know what it means. When they use the word bless in a certain context, they know what it means. So when these children are hearing their father, and often they go around the table and put their hands on their head and speak the blessing. So it was an actual touch to it. Adonai keep you. What that means to the child, what they're actually hearing is put a hedge around you, guard you, protect you. May Adonai make his face to shine upon you, actually turn his face to you, look you face to face and light you up. May Adonai be gracious to you. May he bend down to you and be kind and show you his favor. May Adonai lift up his face toward you and give you peace, which means to keep you safe. In this way, the priests are to put my name as a mark, get this, because you know I'm all about individuality, a mark and a memorial of individuality and implying honor, authority, and character on the people of Israel. And I will bless them. I will kneel near them as an act of adoration. So every Friday night, every one of these children, male and female, would have the mother and father in the house, often grandma, grandpa too, because it was an extended family thing. They'd have this joyous time of fellowshipping and eating and laughter and jokes and whatever families do. And then as they wrapped up, this blessing would be spoken over every single child.
Amazing.
Yeah. And now we look at their people group, the population of the Jewish community. They excel in so many things. I mean, when you look at the things coming out of Israel, and these are not even what we call completed Jews. These are Jewish worshipers of Adonai. They're not worshipers of Jesus. Some of them today might be, and back then might have been, but this is just a blessing that transcends, kind of like Watson's words, transcended nations and brought in a sale of 8, and now it's going to continue from there.
Yeah.
These words transcend everything else. And what's happening is we are seeing the fruit of that, and the Lord says, judge by the fruit.
Yes.
Way lower levels of divorce, way lower levels of drug use, out of wedlock, pregnancy, way lower levels of everything else. And when you look in the positive, much higher levels of prosperity, patents. Oh my gosh, they have like way more patents per capita than any other people group. And so we look at it and we say, how can this be? What would bring that about? Well, if you're going to be speaking a blessing over your child, and your child not only has your connection, but your words of blessing. Because yes, the father said to the priests, speak this over the nation of Israel. But when you bring it into the home, now you've got this whole level of honor and respect and love and trust. You have somebody every Friday night who puts his hand on your head and looks you straight in the face and says, Adonai bless you. Adonai bless you. Adonai keep you. Adonai make his face shine upon you. Adonai be gracious to you. Adonai lift his face toward you and give you peace. And all of that means that he's separating you out from the chaos of the world. And your level of trust for a father, your level of trust for a father is going to be really second to none. Second to none. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. That's what I'm after. Because when I can have a trust level like that, there is absolutely nothing the devil's going to hold back from me. Because he's not going to be able to convince me that my daddy doesn't want good for me. He's not going to be able to convince me that my daddy doesn't want me prosperous, healthy, happy, joyous. And when I hear words like this, and then I hear him say, and I've made you more than a conqueror and more than an overcomer in this life, I'm going to believe it. When he says that I've opened the windows of heaven and poured a blessing upon you so abundant there's not room enough to receive it, I'm going to believe it. Because my relationship with him cannot be broken by the lies of the enemy.
Amen.
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 Amen. I just want to give you these two scriptures because we're going to continue who's your daddy for a while.
Amen.
And I really am hoping you'll take this week to read these words over you. It'd be marvelous if we all had a daddy that Friday night comes and he's there and he puts his hand on my head and speaks this blessing over me and the hurts of the past begin to melt away. But we really don't need that because daddy's alive. I have a personal relationship with him through Jesus and the words are right there in front of me. So I'm hoping that you will take Numbers 6, 20 through 22 through 27 and actually speak them over yourself, preparing us for next Sunday.
Amen.
In addition to that, 2 Corinthians 6:18, in 2 Corinthians 6:18, the Lord says, I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I will be means to unite. I will unite us. I will bring us toward the one result. I will bring us into agreement. He's saying, I will be your father.
Amen.
And I'm the one that'll do the work. If you'll just come to me, just be willing to come to me. And Father is one who imparts life is committed to it. So I will be your father. Not only will I give you life, but then I'm committed, he's saying, I'm committed to make sure that life goes well.
Amen.
So if we're not seeing that happen, it's not him holding off. I still have him at the back door going, yeah, maybe next week I'll feel more comfortable to let you in a little bit closer. Because it's not him. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons. And daughters, says the Lord. And the Lord there is the master, absolute owner with every right. And the word Almighty is the ruler of the universe. So the ruler of the universe, the one who has absolute rights and ownership, is saying, I'm so willing to make this work. I'm so willing to heal you from the hurts that someone else caused. But those hurts and wounds are keeping you from me. I am so willing to make this happen. All I need you to do is be willing to come to me and trust me. That's all I need you to do. That's your one thing. Remember how we said just pick one thing every week that'll get you to the next level? Make this week be the one thing that you are willing to do your best to push through. Even if you have to say to him, Father, I would come to you, but I'm so afraid right now to hear what you're going to say to me. I'm so afraid to hear that, I think of Pastor, Lord, I'll go anywhere for you, just not Africa, please. And where did he go? Africa. And he ended up loving it. Would have moved there. He loved the people, loved the country. So we have to get past where I was. Why won't you let me talk to you about this? Because I'm afraid of what you're going to say. And I would say to you the thing he said to me, you know what, it's going to happen anyway. It'd be really, really great if you'd let me tell you so you could be prepared. Because it's going to happen anyway. Amen. So if you would take Numbers 6, 22 and through 27 and 2 Corinthians 6:18 and personalize those for you this week, that will prepare us for next week. Numbers 6, 22 through 27 and then 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. We have to reach the point where we are willing and accepting and trust the Father. Amen.
Amen.
So I know I'm not a father, but I'm about to speak this over you. Do you want to stand up? Father God, I do speak this over your people right now. Adonai bless you. May Adonai bless you. Kneel near you as an act of adoration. May Adonai keep you, put a hedge around you and guard you and protect you. May Adonai make his face shine upon you, turn his face to you, look at you and light you up. May Adonai be gracious to you, bend down and be kind to you and show you his favor. May Adonai lift his face toward you and give you peace, keeping you safe. In Jesus' name. And by that, his name is put upon you as a mark or memorial of individuality, implying honor, authority, and character. Father God, we receive this word. I receive the blessing of the Father, Lord God, and I will take this word and I will put it to work because I want to be ready for what you bring us next week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.